Amen. There's a lot of innocence there. Yes. A lot of trust. Amen. Jesus said, if you don't come as a child, you're not going. That's right. And simplicity. That's right. A faith that's childlike, not childish, but childlike. Amen. That's why children get saved 10 times more often than older people. Because they don't come with doubts. They just believe what God said. Amen. We have folks traveling. We want to remember. I'm sure we will have for the next month or two. We want to keep them in our thoughts and prayers for traveling mercy. Get you a copy of the new CD. It's patriotic music. Christian patriotic music. Hope it'll be a blessing to you. It's old, but it's still good. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Amen. Looking ahead, Brother Brent Carr will be with us July the 20th, Sunday morning and Sunday night. We love Brother Brent. And then our August revival, Brother Daniel Buchanan will be preaching August the 4th through the 8th. Pastor of New Beginning Baptist Church in Gainesville, and a great man of God. And he was nurtured and raised up under the ministry of Buren Hastings. And I tell you, kind of preacher, Brother Daniel is a great man of prayer, too. And the Lord settled that with me. And had a hard time getting in touch with him. He wasn't in the phone book. And I said, Lord, I don't know how to get in touch with him. I called the radio station. They didn't have his number. I said, Lord, I just feel like this is the man. And I said, well, I'll call his church. And I said, well, there's nobody at a Baptist church on Saturdays. But guess what? Guess what? There was somebody at the Baptist church yesterday. Because I needed his number. You don't believe that, do you? And so we'll be praying, looking forward. Brother Daniel said that he preached a revival for me 30 years ago. I told him I didn't remember it. I said, sorry, but honestly, I ain't going to lie to you. I don't remember it. But I'm glad God can revive us. He can revive us ahead of time. Amen. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Take your Bible tonight, please, and turn with me to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings, please. Chapter 16. I'd like to read 2 or 3 verses from this chapter and bring you the thought upon my heart. 2 Kings. Chapter number 16. I'm preaching tonight on the subject, don't move the old altar. Don't move the old altar. 2 Kings 16, verse 12. And when the king was come from Damascus, the king saw the altar, and the king approached to the altar and offered thereon. And he burned his burnt offering and his meat offering and poured his drink offering and sprinkled the blood of his peace offerings upon the altar. That's the new altar now. And he brought also the brazen altar, that's the old altar, which was before the Lord from the forefront of the house, from between the altar and the house of the Lord, and put it on the north side of the altar. Let's have a word of prayer tonight. Scotty Warren, would you ask God to help us tonight, Scotty? Yes. Lord, yes. Yes. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. oh God. Amen, amen. I appreciate the prayer. Don't move the old altar. Well, according to these verses, there's a new altar in the house of God at Jerusalem. It's been placed there by royal decree. It happened then, and it's happening today. You see, when Ahaz, the king, went to Damascus in Syria, he saw there a beautiful altar. I'm sure it was very elaborate. Now, it was a heathen altar. It was an altar to some one of the gods of the Syrians, maybe Milcom, Chemosh, Baal. We don't really know. We just know it was a heathen altar. But it was so great and so beautiful and so elaborate that King Ahaz determines in his heart, I want an altar like that. I want an altar exactly like that. Put in the temple back home in Jerusalem. He's impressed by this heathen altar. I'm sure it had the name of the God upon it. That was common in those days. He decides he wants one just like it. And so he sends, you can read the whole chapter, he sends the exact measurements and pattern of this new altar back home, back to Urijah the priest, and informs him and commands and instructs him to build this new altar and have it installed at the house of God. Take the old brazen altar, the king says, and move it to the north side. And put this brand new, beautiful, elaborate, heathen altar right there in the house of God at Jerusalem. And that's what's done. When they have the king returns back to Jerusalem from Damascus, he goes at once to the temple, and there it is, the new altar. And he offers sacrifices upon his new altar. Again, it had been put in the place of the old altar, which had to be moved. I won't reread verse 14, our text, but you can see that's what happened. Well, it was a terrible thing. It was an awful, sinful, wicked, treacherous, idolatrous thing to take away the brazen altar, the place of sacrifice that represented the cross and represented the shedding of Jesus' blood, and to take that away from the forefront and put in some new heathen altar. It was a wicked thing. A treasonous and idolatrous act. Of course, the king is very, very pleased with his new altar. But of course, God is very displeased with this new altar. Well, they're bringing in a lot of new altars in our churches tonight. And I want to mention two or three of them. And maybe they're beautiful, and maybe they're pleasing to the eye, and they're elaborate, and maybe they satisfy people's flesh and soothe their conscience a bit. But they're new altars, and they'll never do. Number one, there's the new altar of psychology that has invaded most churches in our land tonight. Now, what's wrong with psychology is just this. And let me preface that by saying psychology is such a broad word, it almost means the same as education. But when I say psychology, what I mean is seeking to answer man's questions without God. Human wisdom, as opposed to divine revelation. Now, psychiatry is even worse. Psychiatry, in its very foundation, says that there's no such thing as sin. Now, you understand why Christians then would be opposed to psychiatry as well as to worldly psychology. It's come into our churches. It's very popular today. I could not believe how many people take the course psychology in university. I guess they require it. But if you don't believe psychology is atheistic at its very heart and foundation, some of you are looking at me sort of sideways. But I've studied this for years. All I ask you to do is read the founders of psychology. Just read Sigmund Freud and Skinner and Jung and Carl Rogers, the founders of psychology, and you will see that those men were wicked and were atheistic, and the same psychology that's taught in the Christian university is the very same psychology that's taught in the most liberal university, Berkeley, wherever in the world. Some of you are so brainwashed, I done lost you. Done lost you in the first 5 minutes. I'm telling you, they're bringing in some new altars. And they're beautiful. And they're elaborate. And they tell you what you want to hear. And psychology tells you you need to boost your self-image. The Word of God tells you that a better view of self is not the answer. A higher view of self is your problem. That's not the answer. That's the problem. Help me, Jesus, tonight. I'm telling you, they brought in these new altars, and I hate the psychology because it denies and attacks the authority and sufficiency of the Word of God. You don't need some psychologist, friend. You need the B-I-B-L-E. It'll straighten you out and clean you out. Amen. Give it a try. You just listen to these men that bring in Christianized psychology. You just listen to Osteen. Why do you think these people are so famous? Why, you hear them and one of them says that you are a God. You are perfect. And there's one part of you that says, I know better than that. But there's another part of you that says, I like that. I like that. Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good. I'm a God. Oh, I'm going to start acting like one. And your ego eats it up. Sure. Just one problem with that. That's a dirty lie. You're not a God. And just mix in a little bit of purpose-driven and a little bit of Chris Long. And a little bit of Schuller, and before you know it, you're just feeling good all over. And you just have decided, I don't need the Bible anymore. I've got psychology. I'm smarter than that old book. Did you know, I've been preparing for years to say this about psychology. Did you know that according to psychologists, there's something wrong with every one of us? They even have a seminar for people who don't like psychology. So I don't care what's wrong with you. They can say to you, you're going to have to come back next week. And don't forget the checkbook. Now, I am not demeaning needed counsel. What I am saying is, the answer is still the Bible and not the wisdom of men. And if you don't like that, why don't you get saved? Amen. Well, let me go on to a nicer point. There's another new altar being brought into our churches, and it's called entertainment. The average church tonight is in the entertainment amusement mode. Wringing their hands, just wondering in all their committee meetings, how can we entertain them next? Leafing through all the religious periodicals. What's the newest gimmick? What's the newest gadget? Go on. Puppets! Clowns! Show business! At the house of God! All sorts of competitions. And if you really want to draw a crowd, just let the preacher ride his Harley down the center aisle. Well, that's big, you know. While the rock band's playing, he's got his black T-shirt on. I mean, that's happening. That happened not far from here. That's one of them new altars. that they're bringing in. And there's a certain amount of people that just love that, you know. But I don't think it has pleased God very much. I don't believe He likes it. I mean, these churches, they're not ashamed. They'll tell you, come as you are. But they don't tell you the other half of that sentence. Leave in worse shape than when you came. When I go to church, I want to know I've been to church. I don't want to have to leave here scratching my head saying, where did I just leave? Was I at the ball game? Walmart? Where was I just at? Did I just leave the biker rally, the go-kart race, the library, the farm bureau? I want to know I've been to church. We're not trying to fit in. Let them fit in. Did you know churches today are more likely to have a bazaar than they are to have a revival? We're living in a day when you tell somebody we're having a revival, they look at you like, you're still having revivals? Don't you know we're in the 21st century? Yeah. Churches today are more likely to have a blood drive than a Sunday school drive. And I ain't against blood drives. But I'll tell you what Jesus said about that. He said, let the dead bury the dead. He said, let the world take care of what the world can take care of. Amen. Don't get mad at me. That's what Jesus said. A lot of new altars coming in. I mean, we have lived to see the adjective Christian put in front of everything. We are living in a day when they say such things as these. Christian gambling. We've got Christian gambling now. We have got Christian drinking. I mean, when Mark Driscoll, one of the most famous preachers in the world, has his New Year's Eve party at his church, he sets up what he calls a champagne bar with real champagne, and they just have a time. And that's called Christian drinking. Christian evolution. They call it theistic evolution. That means God did it. But we've got a Christian version of evolution now. Christian universalism. The two most famous so-called Christians in our world tonight, both of them have publicly said that you do not have to be saved to go to heaven. Both of them. Both of them have impacted at least 500 million people. That's a new altar, by the way. Christian universalism says you don't have to be saved to go to heaven, just be sincere. Christian anti-Semitism. We've got a group of people now that hate the Jews and call themselves Christians. The Lutheran denomination, the Presbyterian denomination, a lot of others, not the people, but the official dogma of the denomination says God is done with Israel. The church has replaced Israel. There is no rapture, no tribulation, no Armageddon, no millennium. And call themselves Christians. New altars. Christian tattoos. Christian hippies. Christian sodomy. Christian rap. Christian headbangers. On and on. That's a bunch of new altars. And I'm against every one of them. I just want to assure you of one thing. When the rock music's playing, the Holy Ghost ain't there. I don't believe anybody gets saved there because the Holy Ghost ain't there. He's grieved. He's not on the premises. I just don't believe people get saved in an atmosphere like that. I don't believe it. Well, I hope that was a little bit nicer than this first point. I'm trying to tell the truth tonight. I'm preaching against the new altars they're bringing in the house of God. psychology, the wisdom of men. All these new ideas. And then there's the Christian mysticism that's coming in. Not just the entertainment. Not just trying to please people and be market friendly and sinner friendly. But there's some weird doctrines coming in. And I want you to know tonight, I'm not talking about the Mormons. I'm not talking about the cults or the occults. I'm not talking about these groups that never preach the gospel. I'm talking about churches that are conservative, evangelical, many of them Baptist churches have got tired of the old-fashioned way. And now they've brought in Christian mysticism. They call it the emerging church. Brian McLaurin. I mentioned Mark Driscoll a moment ago. I tell you what they've done. They've taken the flyers off the communion tables and they brought in candles and icons and artwork. Relics. And nothing wrong with the candle, but I mean, we do have electricity. Amen. A new altar. It's a new altar. They've done away with the pulpit and the mourner's bench and brought in these new age things. And if you went to their one of their services, you'd think you were in a Roman Catholic church. It's repackaged Hinduism. And it's the newest thing going. And you go to their services and you might be chanting something. The pastor might get up and say, "Let's chant together tonight, church." Or you might be involved in a mantra. You might say the same words over and over. And the preacher tell you to get into a relaxation mode and visualize Jesus. And see if you can contact maybe some angel or some spirit guide. And just let yourself go and see what happens. And try to visualize Jesus. New altar. New ways, new doctrines. Spiritual nirvana, Christian transcendental meditation, visualization in conservative evangelical churches. They had a pastor's conference not many years ago out in San Diego. Thousands were in attendance. A bunch of these guys were there leading this new movement. One of them was standing there with dreadlocks. I don't remember what his name was. Just dreadful. That's all I know. And they had the hard rock concert playing and they had the speakers a booming and the colored lights a flashing and the holy smoke and all and them preachers, so-called, all of them claiming to be born again Christians. Walked up there and spoke to all these pastors leading the country and preached on why we hate the King James Bible, why we hate the old time religion, why we hate the rapture, why we hate invitations. I'm telling you, this nation's in a mess tonight. And it's no wonder. And the leading evangelical paper in our world, Christianity Today, saying, quit having the invitation and quit telling people they need to get saved. Just tell them they need to love Jesus. Well, you can't love Jesus till you get saved. You can't love somebody you don't know. New altars. New altars. And by the way, Zondervan was a major promoter of that pastor's conference I just mentioned. You've heard of Zondervan, one of the leading Christian so-called publishers in our world, as well as InterVarsity Press. I have a friend who spoke to Pat Zondervan one time, the president of Zondervan. And he said, "Mr. Zondervan, I know you print all versions of the Bible now." He said, Why did you leave the King James? And Mr. Zondervan said, "Because there's so many errors in it." And my preacher friend said, "Oh yeah? So many errors in it, huh?" He said, "Yeah." He handed him his Bible and said, "Well, if there's so many of them, surely you could find me one. Just show me one." Guess what Pat Zondervan couldn't do? Couldn't find a one. It's all about money. That's what it's about. It's all about money. Well, that's all the new altars I'm going to talk about tonight. More another night. Did you notice here that Ahaz at first didn't totally destroy the old brazen altar where the priest would slay the animals and shed their blood? He didn't, at the beginning, destroy that. He just moved it. He just moved it from the forefront and put his new altar there. And you know what you'd find in a lot of these churches? You'd find in a back closet somewhere. You'd find a stack of King James Bibles they used to use and some church hymnals they used to sing out of. And you'd find their old church sign when they used to be Baptist. That's right. Until the new altar came in. You say, is it that bad? Is it really that bad? No, it's worse than that. And it can only get worse. Later on, Ahaz, read the parallel account in Chronicles. He's not satisfied just to move the brazen altar. Later on, he says to Urijah, destroy everything. Cut up all them old vessels, everything that pertained to the God of Israel. Cut it up, destroy it, smash it in the smithereens. I don't want to be reminded of the old way. Destroyed everything, the Bible says, and put up, the Bible says, in every corner of Jerusalem, a heathen altar. It can only get worse when you bring the new altars in. It can only get worse. It's no wonder that 14,000 Baptist churches didn't have anybody saved last year. 14,000 Baptist churches in America did not have one single person saved. Why? One reason is they brought in the new altars and God's gone. And God's gone. Well, I will say publicly tonight, I'm just not a bit interested in any new altars from Damascus. The old brazen altar is good enough for me. That brazen altar symbolizes Calvary. It was the place of sacrifice where the priest shed innocent blood pointing to Jesus Christ. And you know that brazen altar was so situated. Many of you know how the tabernacle was laid out in the temple. You couldn't get to the holy place and the most holy place till first you came to the brazen altar. Once you got by there, you could go in the holy place where the table of showbread was, the golden candlestick, the altar of incense, and behind the veil, the holy ark and the mercy seat. God said, you're going to have to come to Calvary before you're going to fellowship with me. Amen. You can't know God's blessings. You can't eat off the bread. You can't be the light. You can't send up the incense of prayer. You can't be in His immediate presence in the Holy of Holies till first you come to the brazen altar, to the place where Jesus shed His blood. You can't leave out the altar. You can't leave out salvation and still be a Christian. There's no way. So I want to tell you, and while I'm at it, I just want to tell the devil what we're not going to do. We're not going to move the old altar. We're not going to abandon the cross. We're not going to forget the cross. We're going to cherish the old rugged cross. We're going to preach the cross. We're going to love that cross and defend it and testify and sing about it. Why? I'll tell you why. Because that's where the burden of my sins rolled away. By the cross, Paul said, we're reconciled unto God. That's what He did for us by the cross, the bridge from earth to glory. I reckon Ahaz had a beautiful new altar. It was probably shiny. But I want to tell you that that old cross looks mighty beautiful to me. So despised by the world, but it has a wondrous attraction for me. It represents the love of God and the salvation of God. I'm saying don't move the altar. I'm saying we're going to stick with the old altar. We're going to stick with the old time way. We're going to stick with the old paths and the old fashioned religion. And we're not going to go to the world and ask them how to do it. Not interested. Don't need the world to prop us up. Not interested in their means or their message or their methods. Not interested. Got the Bible. Got the Holy Ghost. Don't need nothing else. Not going to the world for our methods. And we ain't changing. Thank God Almighty, we ain't changing. Amen. If you went to one of these conferences, they tell you, and you don't know how much to appreciate the Taylorsville Baptist camp meeting. They have these big conferences. They had one not so many years ago. One of the most famous Baptist preachers in the world stood there and said, men, said we need to change our message. He said, I've written a plan called the peace plan. He said, what we need to focus on is preaching our people about war, teaching people how to read, disease, and the environment. That's what he said. War, illiteracy, disease, and the environment. When God called me to preach, He didn't tell me to preach on war, illiteracy, and disease, and the environment. He told me to preach heaven sweet and hell hot, sin the problem, Christ the cure. He told me to preach on heaven and hell, sin and salvation, the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. All these other things are symptoms. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. People need to get saved. That'll take care of the war problem. And as far as the environment, it's just going to get worse till Jesus makes it all new. Well, we ain't changing. Come this far by old time preaching, old time praying, and old time praising the Lord, and it's going to take us all the way home. And we're not moving the altar. Thank God. These fellas, I don't even know if they're saved. They have such a terrible attitude toward Christians. They say things like this. They say it's time to reinvent Christianity. That's one of their major words. Reinvent. I think it's time to rediscover Christianity. We don't need something new. We need something old. We need to get back to the old paths. These new ways ain't working. They're not working. We need to rediscover the old time way. Stand with me tonight. I appreciate